Well, good morning. Whoa, that was loud. Good morning. It's a delight to be here with you once again. It's been several years since Angie and I have had the privilege of worshiping here with you. And so when we received this invitation, we look forward with anticipation to coming back and joining you again on a Sunday morning. We've always received a warm welcome here, and we're grateful for that. And once again today, even on a cold, kind of damp morning, it's warm and cozy in here, and the warm hearts of you people have welcomed us, so thank you. I wanted to, before I shared the sermon for this morning, I wanted to just update you a wee bit on what Angie and I have been up to in the last several years. 4 years ago, right about now, we launched into a ministry that we call Arise Now. And it's for us, it felt like a step forward in fulfilling the call of God on our lives. And so just to tell you a wee bit about what Arise Now does, our mission statement is this: we are calling a generation that is longing for something more to arise now in Jesus, to fulfill God's, to be filled with passion so that you can fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. And so that is what we are seeking to do, is to encourage people wherever we go and to inspire them to be filled with passion so that they can discover God's plan and fulfill God's purpose for their lives. We do that in four different ways currently. The first one is we do what we're doing this morning, where we go different places, wherever the Lord opens up a door for us. And that's been happening in an increasing way over the last number of years, being able to go into different settings to teach and preach and share what God has put on our hearts, and we're grateful for that. The second thing that we do is we've written some books, and we have a table in the lobby there that you can have a look at them. Now, if you've been a part of this congregation for a number of years, you may have remembered a sermon I preached here a number of years ago about things I learned on the seat of my bus. Okay, and so, well, now guess what? That's in a book form. So 4 years ago, this was the first book that I wrote. We decided, hey, these sermons about the bus and the bike, the seat of the bike, which I also preached here, they seemed to go over really well. The people connected with it because it was simple, everyday stories, kind of the way Jesus taught, parables, right? You know, the kingdom of God is like a man who went out to drive his bus, is kind of, well, Jesus didn't say that, but he could have if there would have been buses in those days. And so I've put this simple message into book form, Lessons Learned on the Seat of My Bus. That's number one. And then, this is number two, Lessons Learned on the Seat of My Bike. And so the one that you wouldn't have heard is the newer book, and this one came out in 2017. And because before I was a bus driver, which I still currently am. My full-time job is a bus driver with Grand River Transit. Before I did that, I was a truck driver. So guess what? Lessons learned on the seat of my truck. And so, you know, just some more everyday stories from life that can help encourage you and bless you. And so we've been really excited to share these books with many people. And it's just been a real blessing to hear the feedback of how they've encouraged people and inspired them, and people can connect with them. You know, some people, when my mom was still living, she was at Nithview Home, and she shared, I think it was my bus book with somebody there, and he gave it back to her, and he said, you know what, that was the simplest or the easiest book I've ever read. And I thought, well, I'll take that as a compliment. So, you know, I'm a simple guy. The books aren't complicated, and so they can be an easy read and encouragement to you. Now, Angie has written a book as well. It came out of it's called All My Rooms. It came out of a ladies' retreat she did a number, 2 or 3 years ago. This is a journey of inviting Jesus into every room in our house, likening our house to us as people. That, you know, we have different parts, and we want to invite Jesus into every part of us. And so this book is set up as a workbook, and it can invite you, it can take you on a wonderful journey with Jesus as you invite Jesus into all your rooms. So we invite you to check those out. So we go speak places, we've written books, The third thing that we do is for the last coming up on 3 years, we've been making short little videos that we call two-minute wake-up calls. And we post them on Facebook and on YouTube, sharing them through social media. And it has been, we've made over 250 videos in the last, in May it'll be 3 years. And it has been an incredible blessing to share those on through social media and the people that we can touch through the technology that's available to us today. Many people who would never come to a place like this on a Sunday morning are watching these videos and hearing about the good news of Jesus and the difference that he can make in our lives. And so we are so blessed to have that privilege of sharing those. If I know that there's some of you see these on Facebook already. And so if you are interested, if you're on Facebook, you just like our Facebook page, Arise Now. If you want to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Arise Now. If all of that seems like Greek to you and you're not really into any of YouTube or Facebook, but you have an email address and you're interested in watching these videos, we have a sign-up sheet on the book table, and if you give us your email, we will email you, send you an email each time a video is released, and then you can just click on the link. It's really easy, and you can watch the video. So we just want to invite you to check those out. We'd love to share them with you. And the fourth thing that we've had the privilege of doing for the last 2.5 years is the Lord opened up a door for us to be on the radio. So we are, there's a lady in Brantford named Minnie Moore who has a daily radio show called Arise Radio with Minnie and Friends. And for the last 2.5 years, since September of 16, we have been her regular Friday guests. And so now the show, at first we did some live stuff, now it's all pre-recorded, so we don't actually have to go there every Friday. But the show is broadcast Friday afternoons at 2 on the Christian station in Brantford, and 93.9, and Arise Brantford, or 93.9, and AM 1380, the country music station in Brantford, 10 o'clock Friday nights. If you want to check out that, there's listen live links on, if you go to our website, arisenow.ca, you can click on a listen live link. You just have to listen at the right time of day, 2 o'clock Friday afternoon or 10 o'clock Friday night, and you can check out one of our radio shows. We have found that to be a real joy and an incredible blessing to be able to share what God is doing in our lives and what he's showing us through that medium. And so we invite you to check that out. All of that information is on our website, arisenow.ca. So that is what we have been up to, and we are just excited about what God is doing and where he is taking us, and we are excited when we have opportunities like today to come and share with wonderful people like yourselves what God has laid on our hearts. And so as I got this invitation and I received the material about the Lent season, that today is Sunday number one of Lent, I was quite excited to be able to come on this Sunday. You know, when I opened up the material and it said, God's hand delivers us. And if you look in your bulletin, it says, when we enter the wilderness of wandering and temptation, God's hand delivers us. We confess our trust in a saving God. And you know, I got real excited because Angie and I have been in some wilderness seasons in our life, and we have experienced exactly what I just said, that God comes and he meets us in those times, and he saves us and he delivers us. And I am going to share some personal testimony about that as we go along. But you know, as we think about the wilderness, and as I started thinking about that, as it relates to Scripture, immediately the story of the children of Israel wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years comes to mind. You know, they were in Egypt, they were in captivity, God led them out, Moses was the guy that God was using to deliver them out of Egypt, and they went out into the wilderness, and it was not intended to be a 40-year journey. You know, it tells us in the beginning of Deuteronomy, it tells us that the journey from where they started to where they ended up in the promised land, if you would walk it in a straight line, it would take 11 days. And so people refer to this as how to make an 11-day journey last 40 years. It seems a bit bizarre, doesn't it, when you think of it in those terms? And you know, the phrase wandering in the wilderness really describes it well. You know, if they would have had GPS trackers on them and you would upload their route over 40 years to a website the way we do now. You know, when I go mountain biking, I have a little GPS on my bike, and when I get home, I plug it into the computer and it uploads my route, my map of where I was. And I can check it out. And you know, when I go out into the hydro cut, the trails that are locally here, and I ride in there, you know, the 20, 25 kilometers that there is, it just looks like a spaghetti bowl, you know, because all the trails are real close and you're going like this. Well, that's exactly what the children of Israel's route would have looked like if it would have been uploaded to a website. It was just this little wandering, wouldn't make any sense. And so God's intent for them was never to spend all that time. You know, God does lead us into wilderness times, but it's with a purpose. It's a purpose to teach us and to test us. But we can read that story and we can see how their disobedience only prolonged their time in the wilderness. And let that be a message of encouragement to us, that when God leads us into those times, that we will walk in obedience. You know, the other really well-known story of the wilderness in Scripture is the one that Phyllis read for us here this morning. It's Jesus going into the wilderness. And Jesus gives us the model of how to succeed in the wilderness. The wilderness of trial, the wilderness of temptation. And Jesus' time was limited there, and he come out in the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll be careful with that. And so his journey was very different than the children of Israel. So somewhere in the midst of all that, you know, we experience the wilderness, and there's times in our life where it happens, and we're not even quite sure, maybe initially when we start into a wilderness season, that's exactly where we are. And so maybe, you know, Carolyn asked the children, what would you take when you're going into the wilderness? Excuse me. Well, if you knew you were going, you could be more prepared. But sometimes we end up there and we're just like, I'm not prepared. I didn't bring everything that I wanted. And you know, a friend of mine, we were talking yesterday about this message that I was going to be sharing here. And he said, well, the wilderness is a place to pitch a tent, not build a house. And so though God calls us into the wilderness, his hand and his word is powerful to us, that he wants to deliver us out. He wants to call us out, hence the title of the sermon, Called Out of the Wilderness. So I just want to highlight a few things that were coming to me as I was preparing for this. First thing is that I felt like when we're called into the wilderness, there is a time of wandering. We're called into wandering. It's a sense of trying to understand two big questions of life. Who am I and why am I here? Those are the foundational questions that you and I have to come up with an answer to at some point in our lives. It's our identity and our purpose. And sometimes, you know, we have a certain understanding of that, and then God wants to shift a little bit in us, and he wants to bring us maybe to a deeper understanding, so we enter into another wilderness season. And it can feel like a time of wandering where we're uncertain, but it's in the midst of those times where we need to be like the tree that is planted by the streams of water. We read about this in two places in the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 1 tells us this. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. What a beautiful picture. And then it goes on to elaborate on the picture, and it tells us he will be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Wow. The word of God is in us. We get it into us. We meditate on it day and night. How do we do that unless we memorize it and just really read it and get it into us? I've been, for a long time, I've been a big fan, shall we say, of memorizing Scripture. And I know Keith here is also a fan of that as well, and maybe numerous other ones of you. And I want to encourage everyone to try to do some of that. Some people say to me, I can't memorize anything. And I say, no, that's not true. Don't believe that lie. Everybody can memorize a little bit. It takes some work. But you know, the beauty of when you memorize Scripture, when you get God's Word into you, you have it with you wherever you go. And you know, when I'm riding my bus or riding my bike or just walking around, you know, I go over Scriptures in my head and I experience the living, active, powerful Word of God transforming me. And it's in the midst of the wilderness times where that becomes even more precious because it guides us. You know, how did Jesus know what to say to the devil when he was tempted? It's because he had the Word of God in him. And Jesus was an example of the tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. So in the midst of the wilderness of wandering, we can be like a tree planted by the streams of water. I love the other passage that comes to mind about the tree planted by the streams of water is from Jeremiah chapter 17. And it tells us that blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that puts out its roots by the stream. He does not fear when the heat comes. His leaves are always green. He has no worries in the season of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Isn't that a beautiful picture? When we are like that tree planted by the stream of water, with the Word of God in us, and living in that living relationship with Him, we can endure the wilderness. We can succeed in the testing and the trials that the wilderness brings. Also in the wilderness, there's what I would want to call a wanting. You know, we're longing for something more. You know, if you read the story of the children of Israel, you realize that you remember how God provided for them every day with manna from heaven. But the children of Israel, they got kind of sick of manna. Would you like to eat the same thing every day? So there's a wanting in the wilderness. They were like, you remember back in Egypt when we were eating all this good food? And now, God, you've called us out into this place where we're just having the same thing every day. So there's a wanting, a longing for something more. And God wants to come and meet us in those times so that we realize that He is our source. And He will call us out of that place where we can experience more once again. So how does he call us out of the wilderness? Well, I want to suggest to you that He calls us out by His Word. You know, and when we talk about the Word of God, there's in the New Testament, there's two Greek words that refer to the Word of God. There's the Logos Word of God and the Rhema Word of God. The Logos Word is the written Word of God, the Bible that we have in front of us. And the Rhema Word of God is what God speaks directly out of His mouth to you and I, and He is still speaking today. And you know, when I think of the Logos and the Rhema, I think of the story of Saul on the road to Damascus, how Jesus came and met him in a powerful way. You know, Saul was on his way to murder Christians. He was persecuting people who were naming Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. He hated them. And on the midst of that journey, Jesus stops him and appears to him. And he says, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? And in their conversation, then Jesus says to him, get up and go into the city and you will be told what to do. So Saul goes into the city and the people with him, and then God comes and he speaks to a man named Ananias, and he tells him to go to Saul and deliver a message. And Ananias is like, really? You want me to go to the guy who's killing Christians? Are you sure you got the right guy? And you read that, and it is amazing, because if you put yourself in Ananias' shoes, that he actually went. Like, what incredible courage to go to the guy who may just turn on you and you'd be done. But he goes and delivers the Rhema word of God to Saul. And he tells Saul that you are God's chosen instrument. Wow. That word of God into Saul's life called him out of the wilderness of wandering that he was in and into the purpose and the destiny that God had for his life. I just want to share with you about how God came and met me in a significant way several years ago. You know, 2001, Angie and I stepped out of ministry, actually about 18 years ago, right about now in March. We resigned from pastoring at River of Life Fellowship, a church that we had helped to start in the early 90s. And it was a tough time. It was not what we were expecting. We felt like we went into a wilderness season. We felt like our dreams had been dashed, our hope had been hijacked, and our destiny had been derailed. It was a difficult time. And, you know, shortly after that, I think a couple years after that, we started doing some itinerant stuff. I think we spoke here the first time. Brian had invited us in 2003, and we came here regularly along with numerous other churches. So, you know, there was good things beginning to stir again in our lives, but in the midst of it, there was still something that wasn't quite alive within me. We were still in this wilderness. And early on in this journey, Angie had a dream one day. One night, I guess it was. And in this dream, somebody came to the door of our house. And they were wanting to see me. So Angie's like, well, where's Paul? So she goes to find me. And I'm in the basement. And there's three boxes in the basement. And I'm inside one of them. And so she finds me in the box. And she knocks. And she's like, Paul, there's somebody at the door. Would you like to come and see them? And my response was, no, I'd like to just stay where I am. I was comfortable. You know, I was in a safe place. I liked my box. I knew the parameters. I knew exactly, you know, how to function in that. And when she shared that with me, we're like, yeah, that's a pretty accurate description of where I'm at. And so we even had some friends we were meeting with at the time that we'd meet with for prayer, and we shared this, and they prayed, you know, that God would get me out of my box. And there was a part of me that wanted to, but yet I was just like, no, I kind of like my box. And so this went on for a number of years. So Labor Day weekend, September 2014, some friends of ours invited us to a meeting that was happening here in the city. And we go, and there's a fellow speaking from North Carolina. And in the midst of his sermon, as he's preaching, he's a fairly prophetic guy. He points at me sitting in the audience, and he gives me a prophetic word about the call and the destiny that God has for me. And I didn't realize it right in that moment, but I realized in the days after that something has happened. All of a sudden, there was like renewed hope. There was renewed joy. And I mean, even in the midst of the wilderness, Angie would say that I was always still pretty happy. It's kind of just my disposition. But then she said, now you're like happy on steroids. and so I said to her a few days in the days and weeks that followed, I said, honey, I've woken up. And she's like, no, honey, it's not an awakening, it's a resurrection. And I had to agree because, you know, there was a part of me that died in 2001 when we stepped out of ministry. And, you know, when we go through life and things don't turn out the way that we had hoped, the disappointment of it can bring a death to certain parts of our life. And I just want to declare to you this morning that if that's the place that you're in, that we serve a God who will deliver us, that will heal us, and will resurrect us. I know because I've experienced it. A few weeks later, we were at another meeting, and there was a lady praying over me, and she had no idea who I was. She didn't know a thing about me. And she said, I just believe that the Lord is saying to you that you've been wandering for 15 years, but that wandering is coming to an end. And I was just like, yes, that's exactly it. I had been wandering a long time in the wilderness, but God came and met me by the power of His word, and He called me out. And when God calls us out of the wilderness by His word, we realize that instead of a wanting, we are now being wanted by Him. You know, when I look back over the journey and I remember the words that this fellow spoke over me, I don't think it was actually the words exactly that prompted the resurrection in me, but it was that, as I realized after, it was like the Holy Spirit was whispering in my ear in that moment, the Father hasn't forgotten you. The Father hasn't forgotten you. And you know, when we spend that time in the wilderness and we wander around and we were wondering, why am I here and who am I and all these questions that we need to answer, and we're dealing with disappointment, sometimes we can feel like, God, where are you? Have you forgotten about me? And I just want to declare over you this morning that the Father has not forgotten you. His heart is for you and is beating for you, and He wants you. You know, I've been so blessed recently by the words of a song by a group called 10th Avenue North. And the song is called Control, and it's about giving up our lives to Jesus. And the chorus goes like this: God, you don't need me, somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me, somehow that frees me to open or to take my hands off of my life and give you control. God, you don't need me, somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me, somehow that frees me to open up my hands and simply let go. And then it goes on to say, you want me, the King of heaven wants me, and the world has lost its grip on me. You know, when we get a revelation of how much God loves us deep in our hearts, the world and everything that it has to offer loses its grip and its appeal to us. And when God's word comes and meets us in the wilderness and calls us out, and we get a sense and a revelation of God's love for us, you and I will never be the same. He wants us. The King of heaven wants us. And the world has lost its grip on me and on you. So this morning, I just want to invite you into that journey. You know, if you're dealing with disappointment and struggling with the things of life, how they just haven't worked out the way that you had hoped. And we all have those times. You know, I look back over my life and I realize hardly anything in my life has turned out the way that I thought it would. Offer up those disappointments to God. Be honest with them. And I trust He will come and meet you with His powerful word so that you know that you are wanted by the King of heaven and that He is calling you out of the wilderness into a purpose and a destiny that He has for you. It's awesome to be on this journey with Him. And it's one of my favorite stories of my journey to share. And I'm so delighted to share it with you this morning. Remember, the Father hasn't forgotten you, and the King of heaven wants you. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for your incredible love for us. Thank you that you have not left us here alone to live this thing we call the Christian life, that you have not left us to figure out on our own how to be followers of Jesus, but you have sent the Holy Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would just come and you would minister in a unique way to each heart here this morning, the hope and the word that they need to hear about your love and about your freedom and about your resurrection power. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation, that you'll continue to raise them up to be all that you are calling them to be. And that this congregation, the light that goes forth from this place and from each person that calls this place home, would shine brighter and brighter, that many would be impacted through the ministry of these people as they live out faithfully each day the call that you have on their lives. So we bless you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.